Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Hello, listeners. This is episode 72 of Art Talk, and today I will discuss a topic that is very relevant for art history, as we have learned it, for art lovers who visit museums, and recently also the Frans Hals exhibition in the National Gallery in London, and last but not least, painters of portraits to think about. A few years ago, I watched a TED Talk of Titus Kaphar, Can Art Amend History? Titus, an African-American artist, tells how he went with his sons to the museum. In front of the museum stands a huge statue of a president seated on a horse. On one side stands a Native American, and on the other side, an African-American. His eldest son asked why the man was the only one sitting on the horse and the others walking next to him. It stopped him in his tracks, and he thought, how could he tell that whole story to his sons? In the talk, he shows a painting by the Dutch 17th century painter Frans Hals, who has the exhibition in the National Gallery in London at this moment, and every painting should tell a story. They certainly did at that time. And the story was one that people could read because they understood the code. In this painting of Hals, you see a white family with on the left the son, then his father, who is the tallest, the mother, they seem to have a conversation with each other, an African boy situated slightly behind the white family, but visible enough to see him, and next to him, the daughter of the family. The clothing of jewels of the fabric and what they wear show great wealth. The family seems happy. They smile and you see it in their eyes. But the African boy, dressed in red-brown, holding a stick, seems sad. His eyes show sadness and he doesn't smile. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to understand he has nothing to be happy about. Frans Hals, painter known for his frivolous portraits and lively brushstrokes, must have meant something with it. For Titus, it is clear the black boy is simply overlooked, not seen, and therefore he paints the white family over with bold strokes of white paint to bring the focus to the black person in the painting. Can art amend history? I have my ideas about that. But I can definitely recommend watching his talk. Last week, I watched another talk. It was actually a lecture by Professor Patricia Simmons. She showed a painting by Titian, Diana and Actaeon, 1559. And on the right side, behind Diana, kneels an African woman, a black nymph. She clearly protects Diana from the gaze of the man staring at them. Actaeon. She's depicted in a beautiful dress, one naked shoulder, an earring, blue ribbon in her hair, and her gaze is one of utter shock. Her hand above Diana's head, helping her with covering up her naked body for the prying eyes. The other white nymphs feel uncomfortable. Dr. Simon shows how through the centuries, art historians and artists have turned a blind eye. They completely ignore the black nymph. Art historians rather talk about a Spanish glass in the painting than the African woman. She is totally ignored. In one case, he shows a painting of Pontormo, Maria Salviati and Giulia de Medici. That's painted, Pontormo painted it is around 1537-43. Giulia de Medici, a daughter of Duke Alessandro de Medici, who was nicknamed Il Moro due to his dark complexion, was the Duke of Penna and the first Duke of the Florentine Republic, who was ruler of Florence from 1530 to his death, he was assassinated in 1537. This was a high-status black man, and his parents were Lorenzo de Medici and Simonetta di Colavecchio, and African. She was an African woman. In the 30s of the last century, they also found Giulia de Medici, who was blatantly painted out of the painting. So their daughter, the daughter of Lorenzo and Simonetta, as a child, was painted out of the painting. And Pontormo's painting clearly shows a mixed race girl. Now, apart from ignoring black people in paintings throughout art history, artists themselves can do so too, and simultaneously link the idea of a black woman that was formed in the early modern times as hot as in sexual. So an artist painted a picture in 1998 after Titian's Diana and Actaeon. He leaves the African woman out, but he replaces her with an upright Hoover named Hot Point, a black binocular, and a red fabric tossed on the floor. Next is a case called Naked Truth, with a keyhole referring to voyeurism, all pointing to the sexual stereotypes of black women. Only in 2008, an art critic suggested that Titian's work was a brothel scene, and the presence of the black woman had to confirm that claim. It is worthwhile to watch this lecture because she has way more to tell. In revealing the African presence in Renaissance Europe, Professor Loew writes, "The majority of Europeans had little knowledge of Africa or its inhabitants, and artists were no exception." This also had its positive side, because one reason why the surviving genuine likenesses of Africans are so fresh and interesting is that the artists intended to pay more attention when painting a portrait of someone with unfamiliar features. This is something I feel very strongly about. Well, most people who know me as an artist, they know I paint and have painted African people. And I know from my friends and from interviews I did how important it is to get that right. It is respect. And it means inclusion. They feel included. They told me so. Now, going back to the lecture of Dr. Simons, also in the Renaissance, people were painted not exactly as they were. We now live in 2023, and I know not everyone has a proper art education, but those who did paint beautiful black people. Those who didn't often portray black people with an almost white skin complexion, whilst they are really either brown or black. And when an artist received a comment in her Insta post, she answered by saying, "I can't do everything." A Dutch rather well-known painter who painted a black woman also painted her more white than black. And I asked myself, why is this? I do not believe they do this on purpose. Not at all. I believe it has to do with a lack of knowledge. And it goes both ways, because I get asked often how I paint the skin colors of black people by a black artist. Well, in 2 weeks, I will have an extensive color course, and that will be available then. And it has a section about mixing skin colors, because, oh my, there's so many skin colors. And even if you see me as white, I still have a lot of colors, different colors in my face. And so have black people. Their range goes from pale to deep, dark, black. A lot to learn. But because if artists in the Renaissance like Titian, Rubens, Rembrandt, etc. took the time to see, we definitely should too. Not seeing means not accepting, even if that is not what you mean. But if you lack the knowledge, gain it. That awareness needs to be set firmly, without the excuse, I can't do everything, to what I heard someone say, I do not have that color in a tube. Not talking about the presence of black people in paintings. That is telling the story of art through a lens that has ruled for way too long. Yes, art history was written by men mainly. Men were artists, women not allowed. And we still see how those stories fill the brains of people and of the children if they get art history. And I believe we have to return to the resources and the sources and start rewriting a lot of art history to get the right view. Inclusiveness is needed. And for artists who paint portraits, let's paint through stories. Because when you ignore the color of someone's skin, it is turning a blind eye. So it's time to amend art history. Thank you all for listening. I will see you next week. I will announce the color course. I'm working very hard on it, and I think it's worthwhile. It's for beginners, for advanced, and for professionals, because color is a lifelong study. Speak soon. Bye. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.